Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in. We are on the road, a Wednesday edition of Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, down in the rail yard inside the public market. We are nestled between the popcorn stand and the Breezy Island spot that has beverages on tap for you. It is Nebraska. It is Seton Hall, the first of many big games this year for Nebraska basketball. We'll transition to the Real Red tip-off party as we get closer to tip-off. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, under house arrest. He is back in studio. We have wrestled away from the Hail Varsity offices in the rail yard. Brandon L. Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine. He is sitting next to me. So if you're heading down here for Nebraska basketball, and you're going to rock PBA tonight, good for you. And come see us inside the public market. It is decent weather outside. It is cozy indoors here. We have some koozies, some calendars, and more goodies as the basketball season trudges forward. Can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. And find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Danny Burke 5, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at Brandon L. Vogel, fresh off of Big Red Wrap-Up with Jay Moore last night. Vogues, it is great to see you. Thanks for sitting in, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. I had to put down the Super Nintendo controller to come down here, so it's quite a sacrifice.
I will say that I go into the conference room upstairs at Hail Varsity, and we're talking what you want in your man cave from a 70-inch mounted HD beautiful screen, and that's where a lot of the conference call, that's where a lot of the business gets done with Herd At and Hail Varsity. It's wonderful. But yes, I pray that there's Ken Griffey Jr. baseball on that thing.
There's not. So this is SNES Classic, and there are actually no sports games there, which is bad for me because
all I grew up with.
Right.
Like NBA Jam and Tecmo and Ken Griffey Jr. baseball.
I tried to play some Street Fighter 2. I'm now bad at that. Tried to play some Donkey Kong Country. I'm now bad at that. And worst of all, I tried to play the original Mario Kart, which I used to be really good at, and now I'm bad at that too.
Mario Kart was pretty nice. So I like to do a Facebook Live before we go on at 4. And listen, I know I've got a face for radio. What's sad about that is my lovely wife reminding me about that, because what she did was she sent me a gif back privately, and it's that gif of a donkey staring and moving his bottom jaw, moving it side to side. And apparently that's what I looked like on camera. So I love you too, honey. A shout out, as we were saying goodbye last night, my brother and sister-in-law, Aunt Mel and Uncle Mark, had little Josie Schmidt last night at 5:58. She got in time for the final segment of Hail Varsity and for Danny Burke to put some odds down for sure. So she is welcomed into this wonderful world, and she is beautiful, and she hasn't cried yet. My dad even put his golf clubs down to come up from Arizona to see his granddaughter. So that's the exciting news we have. We are loaded up, man. It's a great crossover day. You have basketball to talk with Nebraska basketball. You have football as Sparty comes into town. Let us set up what we got for you. Andy Markowski, longtime Husker standout, the pride of Ort, is going to be with us in 15 minutes. We'll get caught up with Mike Shuhart. Shuey's a huge basketball fan, so I got to get his take on the upcoming season. College football insider, Mr. ESPN, Brad Edwards at 5 o'clock. And then Nebraska basketball insider from HailVarsity.com and magazine did an amazing feature and preview with the latest Hail Varsity magazine. Brandon Vogel's pictured holding it up, reading it before we went on air on this Nebraska basketball 2018-2019 campaign. Jacob Padilla will be with us, and we're on till 6:15 tonight. Vogues, let's get into some football to start things off. Michigan State, and I like the term bully. Let's hear from Coach Ryan Held with Nebraska football today. It was offense day. We'll have some more from Coach Walters as well. But, you know, a couple of thoughts here from Held on what Michigan State's bringing to the party. Let's roll.
You know, they do a good job of physicality. They've been kind of the bully in the league a little bit defensively. So, you know, when you meet a bully, you got one of two choices. You either go, you got to meet him, or they get you. So hopefully our guys are ready to go out there and have a great fight.
You know what? I that's absolutely it. And we spent a little bit of time on this yesterday, Vogues. I want to get your take on it. And I think Nebraska, from a mentality standpoint, is not scared anymore. They're not afraid to roll up their sleeves and go toe-to-toe with anyone post-Michigan, right? I mean, I think this coaching staff did a great job of repairing the long-lost psyches of this football team, the offensive line, the defensive line post-Michigan, and said, look, you're better than that. It's going to take weight room work, and you can't blink and this isn't going to happen anymore. The embarrassments are going to stop now. And Nebraska's not won every game, but they've been in every game since Michigan. And you get a team like Michigan State, who has been top 10 good this year. They've also been fringe, you know, lower tier bowl, and the Outback's kind of their ceiling this year. So I look at Michigan State, and one thing that they do have, and one thing they always travel or bring to you when they're hosting you, is that kind of killer mentality on the defensive side of the football. They are a bully. They're proud of it. They're good at it. And they're going to make you pay. The offense hasn't carried their side of the water. We'll get to your take on the quarterback for Michigan State coming up. But it's a great painting that Ryan Held put out there. And is Nebraska going to be able to man up Saturday? You know they're going to try. But whether Mother Nature's evil on Saturday or you have the passing game that's iffy, can Nebraska and the offensive line get it done? I've spent a lot of time talking about, you know, the defensive line. Can they stop the run? Can they stop Michigan State? That's key. But when I thought more about this 24 hours later, it is going to come down to the Nebraska offense. It's going to come down to the offensive line against that Spartan front seven.
Yeah, Ryan Held compared Michigan to Drago. That was Drago in his prime. Michigan State might be battered and bruised Drago because, you know, their offense is really, really struggling right now. But the defense is probably second best in the league next to Michigan. So it's a fascinating setup in that way. And Nebraska's offense since that Michigan game's averaged over 7 yards a play. Michigan comes in giving up right around five and holding a bunch of teams below that. So who wins out? And, you know, the weather adds an element to that. I'm really interested to see because Nebraska's playing with so much more confidence now than they were going into that Michigan game. They hadn't had anything good happen to them at that point. Adrian Martinez coming off an injury, obviously. Now they've had a lot of good things, and I think they're a confident bunch. So I think we'll see. You know, Troy Walters talked a little today. He said, you know, we're gonna spread them out to try and loosen them up. I'd be surprised if you didn't see, you know, weather permitting, of course, them start a little bit like they did against Wisconsin. If you remember, you know, there were a lot of throws
just
to the edge.
Five carries by an I-back.
Yep. A lot of throws to the edge. And I think Adrian Martinez has the potential to be a difference maker there. The only, like, true dual threat, true dangerous dual threat that I think Michigan State's faced was Penn State and McSorley. They went for 6 yards a carry. Michigan State still won. Mm-hmm. So they're comfortable being ugly.
Well, they are, man, and that's what Saturday is going to be. And it'll be a bar fight. It'll be a bar fight at a dive bar. And I'm not calling Memorial Stadium that. I'm saying that's what they're going to try and make it into. And Nebraska is going to have to hit some big plays. Michigan State does not allow big plays very often. If they do, it's a break in their secondary. That's where it can be vulnerable. But the weather may negate that or neutralize a bit of that for Nebraska. And is it too easy to say mid-20s? I mean, is it too easy to go 28-24 with this thing? Or do you see Nebraska's offense doing more against this Michigan State defense. The other side of this thing is I think Michigan State's going to bounce back on offense. I think the defense is going to keep playing at a super high level. And Nebraska's offense has been on a great roll. Do they keep doing that against somebody in that same conversation as the Michigan D or not? With all due respect to Nebraska, the question I have is, can they do it against somebody really, really talented on the defensive side of the football? That's where I'm at, because they've done well. They've carved up teams. They're super impressive. They've grown. They're better. I'm not doubting or knocking them. I just know this is a different animal on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't expect it to look as easy as it has in recent weeks for Nebraska. You know, even at times for against Ohio State, it looked pretty easy. And, you know, Nebraska had a little bit of a lull there in the second half where they went three and out a couple times. But I do really think the X factor is Martinez in the run game. I think if Nebraska is able to utilize him and get, you know, it's just another guy that you have to account for in the box, and that makes it tough on defenses. That's why everyone's going to it. Nebraska has it. Michigan State hasn't seen a lot of it. For that reason, I think Nebraska can get into the 30s, and if they do, I think they got a great shot to win.
You know, you think back to some of the historically talented Michigan State defenses, and I go back to that Jamal Turner win at the buzzer. That was a really, really good Michigan State defense that also had Le'Veon Bell. And Le'Veon ran for two Bills that day. And, you know, Nebraska's defense has always kind of been leaky since moving into Big Ten, the Big Ten zip code. I think of the really, really good Michigan State team that beat Ohio State for a conference championship. Nebraska was able to score a lot of points. Michigan State had 24 points off of turnovers that Saturday. But Tommy Armstrong, Kenny Bell did a lot of work. And then you go back to the fourth quarter rally back in 14, where it ended up 29-22 or 29-24, something like that, where Zoe had a chance in the end zone at it, and Nebraska rallied in that fourth quarter. So for whatever reason, Nebraska, when they've had a good mobile quarterback, Taylor Martinez, Tommy Armstrong, they have been the one team in the Big Ten that's given Michigan State's defense and elite defenses problems.
Yeah, and this Michigan State one is a little bit different in that it may not have the star power of some of those past Michigan State defenses you just mentioned. You know, I asked a couple of the offensive guys this week, you know, what is it about them that makes it so tough? And almost to a man, they mentioned how well they play team defense. You know, everyone, they fill gaps. They're where they're supposed to be. They're really good at making you beat them. And I think one of the strengths of this Nebraska offense is kind of finding those weaknesses in a defense and probing them. But we'll see. You know, it's Troy Walter said today, it's the best one they've faced since Michigan. So it's going to be a different ball game than what Nebraska's played recently, even different than that Ohio State game.
What's Nebraska going to see at quarterback for Michigan State? That is my question. If Michigan State wants to just line up and smash mouth it and try and go heavy, you know, Nebraska's defense still needs to show they can stop that for four quarters. They've progressed enough to be able to stop it for a half or even three quarters. But Michigan State won't win this football game just lining up and running the football, because I just don't think their offense is diverse enough right now to beat many defenses. And even if Nebraska's is kind of up and coming and fractured in some spots just because they don't have some dudes yet, that's not a recipe for success. They scored 6 points against Ohio State. You know what Nebraska did to that Ohio State defense. So there's some, you know, playing the telephone game here a little bit with, well, let's see what Nebraska did to Ohio State. How'd Michigan State handle it? That may be off, but that's kind of where my mind goes. The quarterback spot is very key, and it's been bungled by Michigan State. It was last week. Do they get it right this week?
Yeah, good question. Mark D'Antonio was not tipping his hand at all. I don't think he's having a lot of fun with this back and forth that they've had. And I mean, it hasn't even really been that much of a back and forth. You know, Lombardi got the start when Lewerke was basically not able to go and played well. Like, as far as post-Penn State, which is when Lewerke got hurt, that was the best game they've had from a passing perspective, certainly. But, you know, I think he's a little bit nervous about Lewerke going forward, about breaking his psyche, mm-hmm. I guess, for lack of a better term. But I look at it against this Nebraska defense, and Lombardi being a little bit more mobile and some of the things that he's been able to do this season, I think he might give them a better shot.
But you got to go with him.
But it doesn't seem like they're likely to go that way. And, you know, I think Lewerke will get the start, and they'll try it that way. They'll try to go heavy, and they'll try to run right at him. You know, Illinois had a ton of success on the ground, and we'll see. You know, Nebraska's had some success stopping the run occasionally, Colorado. You know, some of those
occasionally
other,
is the key word.
Right. Yeah, and it hasn't been against teams that have a really dynamic run game. But given all the injuries that the Spartans have, I wouldn't say that they do right now either.
No, and Lombardi does give you the best chance to win. But I don't think they trust him. I think he's too green, no pun intended there, with just how young he is and how he didn't play well in a big game against Ohio State. Is he going to grow up exponentially in a week? I'm not sure. Brandon Vogel is here. Vogues, thanks for hanging out.
No problem. Thank
you. Continue to chill if you want. We're down here in the rail yard, Hail Varsity Radio. And don't forget, Real Red Tip-Off Show gets going, gets you ready for Nebraska Seton Hall. We're going to be here all season long for Nebraska basketball games. Should be a good time. Nebraska Seton Hall. Andy Markowski, standout Husker, the pride of Ord, going to join us next at Hail Varsity in the rail yard inside the public market presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
We're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back to it. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We're down to the rail yard, getting ready for Nebraska Seton Hall. We bring in standout Husker, the pride of Ord. It's basketball season again. We say hi to Andy Markowski, at Markowski. Andy is where you find him on Twitter. Mr. Markowski, how are you, sir?
Yeah, doing well. Excited to have the basketball season here.
Man, it is an exciting season. There's so much anticipation. There's some hype. There's a ranking. The Sagarin ranking is out, and we've all, you know, saved that picture. Nebraska number one, and Seton Hall comes to town. Let's first and foremost start with this season, this group, this core four. Andy, and you've been a part of teams where there have been expectations coming in, and you've been to a lot of tournaments in your career at Nebraska and also won an NIT championship. What's going to be key for this group, this squad, and Coach Miles kind of navigating a season like this with really, really high expectations?
Yeah, certainly. I don't know if a Nebraska basketball team has had this much anticipation since, you know, probably the early 90s when we had a roster with three or four NBA, you know, caliber guys on it. So, you know, I know it's new. They certainly had a lot of expectations or had a great season last year with winning, you know, 23 games. So, you know, it's a long season, and you hope that the agendas of the touted four all line up. You know, you don't want it to get splintered where, you know, NBA or individual accolades or any of those things, you know, start to creep in. You know, if they're in it for the right reasons, you know, in it to compete for a Big Ten championship, get into the NCAA tournament and be the first team in Nebraska history to win a game, I think the talent is there. You know, my concern is that the season is long, is depth. You know, you have to avoid injuries. You have to get a little lucky if you're not deep. And then they have to develop, you know, that seventh, eighth, ninth guy, because there's going to be games where you're going to depend on them to play well, you know, to have a chance to win. So, you know, you certainly they have the talent. The four and that they're building around are as talented as you know, any Nebraska team in the history of the program. It's going to be fun to see how Coach Miles and the staff, you know, navigate them through, you know, a pretty challenging non-conference. And then what I think will be a much tougher conference schedule than what they played a year ago.
Eddie Markowski, Husker standout with us, Hail Varsity Radio, previewing Nebraska Seton Hall PBA. We're down here in the rail yard getting ready for a big-time non-con opponent and a named team that comes in. Andy, you're right about that chemistry and that being kind of important to keep that everyone's agenda, the same agenda. And to me, just being around some of the players covering this team, I think you've got guys that wanted to come back. They made that commitment to come back. And I think they're all here for the right reasons. Yeah, they want to get better and improve their professional aspirations. But I think this group, from a cohesiveness standpoint, you're starting your core four. I think they all get along pretty well, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, signs point to that. I think it starts with Glenn Watson. You know, I think Glenn, being a senior point guard, probably didn't have the junior year that he wanted. I think he struggled shooting the basketball. I think that affected him a little bit last season. I know he's highly motivated to lead this team and do great things. And I think with him being a senior and being talented, I think he can hold everybody else accountable to a team first mentality. And, I certainly haven't seen anything that would lead me to believe that they're not together. But those are the challenges when you do have four, players that are good. You only have one basketball. There's only going to be one leading scorer. Those things do, start to rear their head a little bit. And I would rather have four talented players that can all score 30 points than only having one. I think Coach Miles is in a good position where they are talented enough to compete at the top of a very difficult conference.
Where's that depth going to emerge? Who are some guys that aren't starting that need to be good? Who are some of the guys on this roster you think can really step up and provide a shot in the arm as we get deeper into winter?
Well, I think Thomas Allen is really talented, even though he's a starter. Was fairly under the radar a season ago. They've struggled shooting the basketball early. I think he's a kid that's going to have to make shots for them. But really, my concern is depth. Roby at the five is really a hard matchup. But sometimes you just got to be big, and you have to go and rebound and defend against teams that have true posts. You look at Hyman and Burkhart, not that they have to have great years, but I think they have to be able to give Nebraska 8 to 10 minutes in certain games and roles and solidify the front line if Copeland or Roby get in foul trouble. So, I think Ukinton has proven that he's, long enough and athletic enough to score. But I think Allen has to have a really consistent season to be that fifth option. And then they're going to have to hold up front and be good enough to allow Roby maybe to move to the four in certain lineups. So the inside guys are my biggest question. Do we have the depth to survive an 18-game conference season and it's a very physical Big Ten conference?
You mentioned physical. What do you know about Seton Hall? I know that they're not the same squad that messed with Kansas a year ago. That said, they're still a Power Six squad, and it's a good pedigree program.
Yeah, Coach Weller has done a great job there. A year ago, Delgado and Rodriguez were two of the better players in the country that maybe we didn't know in the Midwest just because of them being kind of an East Coast team. I actually picked them to beat Kansas. That's what I thought of how talented those two were a year ago in my bracket. But losing those, I think it's a great matchup for Nebraska because I think we're better. Powell is a pretty talented wing player for them as leading him in scoring. I think almost 30, it's right at 30 points a game. So they're going to have to do a good job with him. But I look at their non-conference schedule, and Seton Hall is a named team that I think is down a little bit. I look at USC and Texas Tech, who are named teams that we potentially could play in Kansas City. Creighton's down a little bit, so I think it's a lot of marquee name teams, but teams I think Nebraska can beat, especially at home. And I think Vegas has Nebraska a pretty good favorite tonight, and I would expect Nebraska to play well and win this game.
What type of year is necessary for James Palmer Jr.? He was the guy that found a way to get it to the rim and get it in.
Well, you know, he's no longer under the radar. I think, you know, the first half of last season, you know, he snuck up on a lot of people being a transfer. You know, so you know the Big Ten had a chance to look at him last year one or two times, certainly look at some film, knowing that they're going to have to put their best defender on James. So I think there's going to be games where, you know, where he maybe struggles due to teams really setting their defense up to slow him down, try to keep his penetration, keep him off the free throw line. So he's going to have to shoot the ball. He hasn't shot it well to date. You know, teams are probably going to, you know, force him to shoot jump shots. But he's a very talented player, certainly on the NBA radar in terms of a draft pick. Whether or not he's a first round or second round, I think this season will determine a little bit more where he projects. But, you know, when you have a good year, it's hard to have another good year because teams are going to try to set their defense up to slow you down, and I'm sure James is going to see that this winter.
Couple more minutes. Andy Markowski with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Former Husker standout, the pride of Ord. What's Nebraska have in Amir Harris? What can his role be?
Yeah, I think Amir gives them some speed and athleticism at that one and two, you know, to you know, blend in a little bit with Watson and Thomas Allen. Whether or not Amir can score and do some of the things that he's going to need to do in some of the better Big Ten games remains to be seen. But as you know, you look to be able to play 8, 9, 10, you know, guys through the course of a season, looking at the roster, Amir is going to be a kid that is probably going to get the opportunity to play a couple rotations a half. And if he can't play well and develop the coaching staff's trust, you know, he'll play less. If he can, you know, I'm sure they'll find a role for him. But I do think it's important, especially in you know, just a hectic season, to try to play, you know, 9 or 10 kids in a non-conference. That way, you know, your starters aren't carrying 32 to 35 minutes. And I think Amir is a kid that's going to take some of those non-conference minutes and then is going to have to you know, to play well to stay with that amount of minutes once conference season starts.
Nebraska was so good with their athleticism, and I look at a guy like Roby, gets the rebound, can run the floor, can shoot. What step do you expect from him this junior season? And from a half-court offense, is Nebraska going to be better this year?
Well, I still think Isaiah defers a little bit to the other three, and there's times that I think, you know, he should maybe take more shots or get more shots. I think he's that talented. You know, certainly physically, he's gained weight. I think he's stronger, which I think is going to help him, you know, get to the foul line, maybe, you know, rebound a little better, you know, hopefully score inside the paint as well as, you know, expand his game to the three and off the drive. But I think Roby is you know, probably our most gifted player in terms of being able to play against really good defenders because of his versatility. I would like to see him not defer as much and be more of a go-to guy than being the fourth option. So I'll be anxious to kind of see how that plays out. Certainly, I think Nebraska needs to play faster if they're going to play Roby at their five and try to not play in the half court. But we all know once conference season starts, you know, the game tends to slow. And Nebraska is going to have to show much better, you know, execution than they have under the last 2 or 3 years. Nebraska has not been great in the half court, you know, forcing shots late. But that's where a guy like James Palmer comes in, where you've got to put the ball in his hands the last 7, 8 seconds of a shot clock. And hopefully he has a reputation to get some foul calls, whereas I don't know if Nebraska has had a player in years past where, you know, the referee is going to give you the benefit of the doubt. And I think James is that type of player. He's projected to be a first-team all-conference kid. And hopefully he can get some late fouls called where, you know, those 6 to 8 points could be the difference of Nebraska winning or losing a close conference game.
Should be a good one tonight. Nebraska, Seton Hall, PBA. Andy Markowski, longtime former Husker, and the pride of Ord, giving us a breakdown on this upcoming season. Andy, we'll get caught up again. Thanks for the time today.
All right, Schmitty. Good luck, Huskers.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Real Red Tip-Off Show will get commencing here next hour. Chris Schmidt, Brandon Vogel sitting in. And don't forget, we have Brad Edwards coming up here at 5 o'clock. Jacob Padilla a further look at Nebraska Seton Hall. Big thanks to Andy Markowski, part of the tournament glory days for Nebraska basketball, the pride of Ord. Good to get his thoughts on Nebraska Seton Hall and how you manage and handle expectations. Every Wednesday at 4:40, you expect Mike Shewhart, Shuey, with Wilderness Ridge. He is popping on. Shuey, I'm going to drag you down here. I won't do it by ear because I don't want you to take your nine iron out and hurt me, brother. But, man, you're a big basketball fan. How's it shaking for you this midweek?
It's pretty good right now.
Weather isn't too shabby for you. We may have a minimal window the next couple of days for golf, my friend, and you got to be smiling about it.
Oh yeah, we got some guys out playing today. They were anxious. They're tired of being cooped up the last few days. So,
well, Shuey, what's on your mind? I know you're a huge Nebraska football fan and a big-time Nebraska basketball fan. We'll start with football first. We'll get into some golf here shortly, but we always talk some football and basketball with you, my friend. How you feeling about Saturday for Nebraska-Michigan State?
I like it a lot. I mean, it's going to be another test of see kind of where they're at, you know? I mean, if things keep trending like we've seen, you know, it should be a great game. See if they can get their defense working a little bit and have their offense keep going like it is, come out with a win. I like our chances a lot.
Shuey, have you made that phone call to someone bigger than us all to make sure the wind and snow stay away?
I know it. Yeah, if it starts snowing, it's going to be after the game. How about that?
That sounds good. Mike Shuhart's hanging out with us here. We got him on the phone. Shuey, you grew up going to basketball games a lot. First the Coliseum and then, of course, Devaney, and you've been to PBA a few times. What do you think of Coach Miles' squad this year? I know the expectations are real high. That said, the schedule looks good, and it should be pretty favorable with Nebraska when you look at the fact that Purdue and Michigan State, you get them twice. Good or bad, right? You get them home and away. The non-conference is set up with a slew of tournament teams. How loaded and deep are these returning teams? I don't know, but it looks good on paper right now. How big is tonight against Seton Hall?
That's a huge game for them. I mean, obviously a big-time program, physical team. I know I went to the game Sunday. They're a fun to watch. They're athletic. They can run. And they can hit some threes from the outside.
Daddy, let's try and reconnect with Shuey. We're having some dropout issues. We'll reconnect with Mike Shuhart as we get caught up with Shuey. We will run down Brad Edwards here coming up in about 20 minutes. We're having some technical difficulties with the phone and Shuey. You know what's pretty sweet? Vogues, hop on here real quick. We're in the first of many Real Red Tip-Off Hail Varsity Road Shows pre-Nebraska basketball. And this is a gold mine because the public market is nice and warm and cozy. You're going to have the ice skating rink out here very shortly. A couple of great establishments to pop into. And you know how just busy and buzzy this place gets going with the excitement of PBA, with be it concerts, with be it women's basketball, be it men's basketball. Now you got a ranked team in Nebraska coming in, and Seton Hall, pretty big one tonight.
Yeah, it's absolutely a huge one. And, you know, I think it could Nebraska's got to go out and win. Like, I think we're all in the same boat. We want to see what they actually are, because they played as well as they could have against two teams they should have beat pretty handily, and that's all you can do in those situations. This is a game they're going to have to go out and win. And, you know, you mentioned the setting down here. You get Nebraska that starts to climb even higher in the top 25. It's going to make winters feel a little bit warmer around here.
It will, and it's always warm inside the public market. We're down here in the Rail Yard Roadshow Wednesday before Nebraska basketball. Chris Schmidt, Brandon Vogel. We have Mike Shuhart back on. Shuey, we had to reconnect there. Thanks for the patience on that. We were talking hoops, and you cut out there. But Seton Hall's one of those named teams, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, they have a great tradition behind them. You know, you kind of know how they're going to play. They're going to be physical. So it's like, can we kind of match their physicality? But more than anything, they just got to play with what they do. I mean, they're up-tempo. Like I said, I went to the game on Sunday, and it was really fun to watch them play. I mean, they're athletic. They're up-tempo. If they can hit shots from the outside when they need to, they're going to be a handful.
Now, I got to ask you this, and it might be a bit of a personal question, but am I the only kid growing up when the Big East had 6 fouls, everyone else had 5, that called BS on that? I mean, you had Mullen, you had Ewing, you had Wingate, you had Syracuse and Derek Coleman. Who else was on that Syracuse team? Derek Coleman, one of the point guards. God, I'm forgetting his name. He played Sherman Douglas. Boom. Douglas. Look at me go off the top rope there. But the Big East got 6 fouls, man. Shuey, did you lose your mind over that?
Oh, that was a physical, man. Hey, remember St. John's and Walter Berry? He was my favorite.
Okay.
I love Walter Berry, man.
I remember Lou and those sweaters. It was a contest between him and Bill Cosby every Thursday night, who had the ugliest sweater on.
Yeah, they would win an ugly sweater contest every, hands down, every year. They were horrible. I can't believe they let him sit on the sidelines with that sweater on.
I know. He was magically delicious. Shuey, what's coming up here with you at Wilderness, brother?
Just kind of waiting for some nice days. We're going to be busy, looks like, next couple days because the weather forecast looks good, which is nice. So keep those good days coming as long as we can.
Well, and don't forget, a week from Friday, too, it's Tiger v. Phil.
I know it. So, it'll be exciting.
Do you got a watch party in the works for that?
We were talking about it. I don't know where it's at right now, but I'll find out. See if they're planning on maybe doing something. But
Hey, that works. Shuey, we love you, brother. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Have fun down there. Sounds like a fun time.
It is. It's good stuff. We're in the public market. Mike Shuhart with us there. He jumps on with us every Thursday. Hail Varsity Radio. Roadshow Wednesday as we're in front of Nebraska and Seton Hall. Tip off an early one, 6:30. And BTN will have the broadcast. The incredible Kevin Kugler going to be on the call for that. Excited here. Coming up, we'll run down Brad Edwards, ESPN Insider, College Game Day, Jacob Padilla will be with us at 5:25 to preview Nebraska. If you have not gotten your copy of the basketball preview, get it now, 855-3-HUSKER-HAILVARSITY.com/subscribe. Holiday season is here. It is. You are 5 weeks out from the big fat guy in the red coming down the chimney. Make that Nebraska fan smile. The cover is beautiful. It's got Isaiah Roby, a bunch of brackets, a pearl white back matting, and you have bracket or bust. It is money. It is so cool, and the work inside is phenomenal work and quality by your friends at Hail Varsity Magazine. A quick timeout. We'll wind down hour one. We're in the public market as it's a Roadshow Wednesday with Hail Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Big thanks to Lexi, our promotions director, for dropping off some extra koozies, and we have some calendars. Can we get a signed Brandon Vogel Hail Varsity calendar?
You can. I don't know why anybody would want that, but
I think there's a lot of people that would want one here. There's a picture here of the 97 National Championship team being honored. That's a great photo, and thankfully they were able to escape by halftime to avoid the second half of the Ohio State game.
As far as they know, Nebraska won.
Always believe that. We are down here in the rail yard inside the public market. The first of many Real Red tip-off shows with Hail Varsity as we're inside and getting ready for Seton Hall and Nebraska. Chris Schmidt, Brandon Vogel, Danny Burke can follow us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio, @HailVarsity, @BrandonLVogel, and @DannyBurke5. We'll get caught up momentarily with Brad Edwards, ESPN Insider, College Game Day. I'm anxious to get his take on Nebraska, Michigan State. See just how perfect Michigan's got to be. Or the million-dollar question right now was about a one-loss Notre Dame. Used to talk to Beano Cook every August before Beano passed away in 2013. And I would just always start off by asking him about the Four Horsemen. And he'd go, Notre Dame. And I have that, and I don't know where the other interviews went. And then the off-the-record cocktail hour questions and comments he had on Coach Devaney was fabulous, but we burnt those tapes. Just, we had to, but it was wonderful. Listen, you have Nebraska, Michigan State, you have Nebraska, Seton Hall. Great week as a Husker sports fan to be here. And it's been rare, right? It's been rare where you've had the crossover year where basketball and football are both. I know football is probably isn't going to a bowl game. I get that, but they're playing better. You're excited about football. You got an early signing day, now year two of that. How does Nebraska clean up in December for that? But basketball is really, I don't know. Am I the only one that it's early? It's early to be diving into the deep end of the pool for basketball, but it is. I mean, it's time.
Yeah, I mean, you have excitement on that end, despite the 3-7 record for football. There's excitement there. We'll see what happens with his women's season, but given how they finished last year,
awesome.
I think their program is trending up. And strange as it may be to say, volleyball's probably trending up a little bit. You know, Coach Cook mentioned this week they're the only team in the top 10 that has a freshman setter.
Yeah.
And that's big. You know, it's kind of you got Nick Lindhames, freshman setter, Adrian Martinez, freshman quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That's good things for both of those programs.
It is, and going to be a good one tonight. Can Nebraska deal with the expectation? Great stuff from Andy Markowski and Jacob Padilla going to come up here next hour. We are on till 6:15. The Real Red Tip-Off Show extends our regular 4-6 broadcast, so excited to be a part of that as folks are dressed in red and they are strolling into the Haymarket and now Rail Yard region. And it is not brutal outside, but if you need to warm up, we're inside the public market. You can come say hi and say what's up. We'll take caller 8 right now for the Sprint Center tickets for Nebraska Monday and Tuesday. Caller 8 right now. Caller 8 right now, Monday and Tuesday session down in the Sprint Center for Nebraska basketball. Caller 8 with Hale Varsity and ESPN. Hour 2 coming up. Brad Edwards on the way.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HaleVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Well, Kurt Serdamas came by, the trash man, said Nebraska 78-64. Over Seton Hall tonight. Welcome back to Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Big thanks to Brad Edwards. Intriguing stuff on the coaching carousel, where who could go where, and if Gus Malzahn safe, or if Ralphie's going to find Lane Kiffin, and Lane's going to get Ralphie some sunglasses. All that good stuff. We're in the public market. Real Red Tip-Off is something we're doing, powered by Hale Varsity, in the public market every select Nebraska men's home games, most of the Big Ten season, and some of the big-time showdowns. That includes tonight. We're here in the Rail Yard in the public market, keeping warm. We say hi to Jacob Padilla, Nebraska basketball insider extraordinaire. He knows the game so well. At Jacob Padilla _ is where you follow him on Twitter. Amazing feature and preview for Nebraska basketball 2018-2019. In the latest Hale Varsity Magazine. Jacob, great to see you, man. Thanks for popping by here in the Rail Yard. Pretty big one tonight.
Yeah, I appreciate the kind words. And it looking like you're having another good hair day today. So that's
my hair's incredible. My wife says the bottom part of my jaw looks like a donkey. I have the gift to prove it. She's in a mood, apparently. So I may dial back some of the Facebook Live. Hey, if you're down, come see us in the public market. I don't know. Maybe Gorman or you will have to handle the video side of things. But I wanted to ask you, first and foremost, you have some signings from the junior college ranks, and also give us an update on some of the in-state high school prospects. with Nebraska basketball recruiting. I know there's been some major news that you can read more about on Hail Varsity's Twitter account and also HailVarsity.com.
Yeah, and this morning I was out at Omaha Creighton Prep, my old stomping grounds, for a Cola Rope signing ceremony. He signed with the Huskers this morning, sent that in. He was the first of their three. All three of them signed the letters, sent them in today. So Nebraska has its 2019 recruiting class in, officially part of the program now. And so that was pretty cool. We had a lot of friends, family, teammates, coaches, everybody out there for him. He was took about 20 minutes just going through taking pictures with
all the people that he's grown up with.
Yeah, and people that wanted to take pictures and everything. So that was pretty cool to see. He's a kid that's worked really hard. And he's going to bring some serious athleticism to the program, and he's just going to play really hard. And that in itself is a skill, the motor to just go hard, use that athleticism to make an impact on both ends of the floor. And so I'm looking forward to seeing him this year, kind of how he develops as a senior leader for that team, because it's basically a whole new team. There's only a couple kids back. Mm-hmm. So, and then Gervais Green from Western Nebraska Community College, huge. That's a huge pickup for them, a big-time signing. I think I'll probably dive into that a little bit more for my Friday column, but he's a big-time. He just had a 44-point game out there against one of the better JUCO teams. So, and then
Bobby Jackson and Melvin Brooks were the two kids under Soupy Campbell back in the day that Bobby ended up taking Minnesota to the Final Four. They got negated. And Nebraska got kind of a pre-stretch four in Melvin that once in a while hit a few threes, but I remember that team and that region, and anytime Nebraska can get out to Western Community College and land some players, it brings me back about 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah, and he's big. Just for you're losing Glenn Watson, losing James Palmer, you need a guard that's ready to make an impact right away, and he can be that guy, I think. And then the last one is Mike Adams-Woods from out on the East Coast. He's from Syracuse, New York, but he's going to school in New Hampshire, and he signed his letter of intent as well. So Tim Miles has his recruits ready for them to get to the program this summer.
That's the future. Let's talk about the present, and how big is tonight's game?
It's big just from the standpoint of kind of a measuring stick for both teams. Nebraska played two teams that it was hard to learn anything against, and they kind of showed up and they basically won the game in starting lineups, and it was over 5 minutes in for both games. So, and then Seton Hall, they didn't play a particularly good team either, I think. So it'll be interesting, I think, to see both teams. Seton Hall only has five guys back that even played last year. Only one of them was a significant contributor, starter, big-time player, and Miles Powell, and he had 30 in their first game. So Nebraska is definitely going to have to keep him in check. But outside of that, they've got a couple of transfers, got a couple of freshmen. So it's a whole new Seton Hall team from the past few years when they had a core that is gone now. So I really don't know what to expect from Seton Hall. And it's hard to know what to expect from Nebraska outside of kind of some of the things, the defense, the length, the things they do well. But in terms of how they're able to play offensively and how they're able to mesh against a real competitive team, that's what we're going to learn tonight.
Jacob Bedilla sitting in here. We're in the public market, Hail Varsity Radio. Roadshow Wednesday in front of Nebraska's Seton Hall. Folks are heading and milling around the rail yard. We're inside the rail yard, inside the public market, keeping warm. No earmuffs or gloves needed. And they have frosty beverages for you, some popcorn and nachos if you're feeling like it. And excited to get ready for Nebraska basketball 2018-2019. What are you confident in about this team? We know the core four. You know some of the guys that are going to be asked to do some things that maybe are a bit unproven. That said, you have confidence and you have concerns. Talk to me about the confidence. Explain some concerns.
The confidence, I think, is just the team defense, the length, the activity on that end of the floor. The two teams they played were really, really bad, but Nebraska held them well below what they scored against some other teams. So that wasn't all just the other teams. That was Nebraska being in the right places, contesting shots, making life difficult for those teams. And that is what Tim Miles builds his program on, is that defense. And they've got a lot of guys that made an impact last year. Each one of those guys in that core four is able to make an impact defensively. And then I've been really impressed by Thomas Allen's activity. He's getting in passing lanes. He's getting deflections. He's getting steals. He's getting rebounds. So he's really, I think, picked up that part of his game. So that defense, I definitely, I think, is going to travel. It's going to be there all season.
And they're going to need that to get it into transition offense.
That is an excellent point. I think that's somewhere they're going to have to live this year. They've got the players to do it. James Palmer Jr. is one of the best in the league in the open four. I think that's a way for Glenn Watson to kind of keep playing well, keep his confidence high. And Isaiah Roby, too, is the kind of guy that can grab and go off the defensive rebound. So that'll be huge for them. Concerns? I think the rotation, what are they going to get from those bench guys? Who's going to be able to play? Who is Miles going to ask to play? That's, I think, the biggest thing we're going to learn from tonight, because first two games, he played all 10 guys first half. Both of the walk-ons got some good minutes in the second half of both games. So we have no idea what the rotation is actually going to look like against a real team. How deep does he go? Does he go 7? Does he go 8? Does he go 9? Is it Tanner Borchardt? Is it Brady Hyman? So how does that look like? What does that look like in the front court? And then in the back court, what are you going to get out of Amir Harris and Nana Kenton? So
I like Nana. Yeah. I like how athletic he is. I like how confident he is. And you put those two together, he's kind of playing beyond his age.
And I definitely think he's in that eight. The key with him is kind of getting locked in mentally, making sure he does what he needs to on defense. He doesn't get lost. He's got the
play
green light.
Ends.
Yeah, he's got the green light for sure, but he's got to make sure the ones he's taken are the right ones.
You got to obey the speed limit.
Yes.
That green light.
That's exactly right. He can't shoot it every time he touches it, just when he's open.
Right. When it makes sense. Jacob Padilla breaking it down. Hail Varsity Radio. We're here in the Public Market Rail Yard. And then Real Red Tip-Off is what we're going to be doing. Nebraska basketball home games here in the Public Market. So if you're coming down to ice skate, you're coming down to pregame, we want to see you down here in the Public Market with Hail Varsity and Real Red Reaction and ESPN Lincoln. We invite you down. Get some popcorn, get something to drink. The Breezy Island, the funniest thing, the Breezy Island, they have the island ice, right, shaved ice. And every time I bring Carson down here, whether he was 3 or he's now just turned 12, the guy looks like he's trying to turn into the Cookie Monster with as much blue on his face. Now, before you throw me under the bus, we get him the non-alcoholic Breezy Island ice. So that's a good thing. Jacob, a thought here on Nebraska, the excitement level. You've covered Nebraska basketball. You've covered high school basketball. You know how much passion exists in this state for the round ball, man. Yeah. And folks are jacked about today. Give me a thought here, big picture on the season. Give me a projection, a prediction here, what you think happens. Because you know what Nebraska fans want.
Yeah.
Is it a reality?
It should be. I'll put it that way. It should be. They should.
And I'm not trying to corny or put you on the spot. But
no.
I mean, you know the game well.
They should be a tournament team with what they've got. If they don't, then something went wrong. An injury, guys not living up to expectations. They have everything.
Is chemistry good?
It seems to be. I definitely think it is, just from what we've seen being around it, talking to the guys, seeing a little bit. Again, we haven't seen what the rotations look like, but guys seem to be playing pretty well together.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they do have all the pieces here. If they can come together, if those guys can give them what they need off those bench, the young guys, I think they can win 20, 21, 22 games, make the tournament, and then put up a real fight when they get there.
They could have a similar or maybe a step or two below last season, but you got a much, much better Big Ten, and their non-conference. They're going to get some credit with the Seton Halls. Clemson's going to be a rock fight.
That's the best
one. And Kansas City coming up down in the Sprint Center. You're going to get a couple of name teams to take on. I got about 90 seconds left. Brady Hyman, I love his length and athleticism. I know that size-wise, can he hang in the Big Ten's kind of the question that's out there. It's not an effort or an intelligence or a skill, but it is a big-time basketball league. Is tonight a good trial run as physical typically as Seton Hall is?
Yes, 100%. That's one of the guys I'll be watching closely. How much playing time does he get? Can he hold his own when he's in there? And it's they don't even need a lot from him offensively. He's got to be able to hold his ground defensively. He's got to be able to get through screens and not die on those screens, not let teams run through their plays as much as they want to. Because if he can hold his own on the glass, contest some shots around the rim. That's all they need from him, a few minutes here and there, because they've got guys that can score the ball.
Jacob Padilla, follow him at Jacob Padilla _ with Hail Varsity. Great basketball mind and is all over it. He'll be on site at PBA tonight with Brandon Vogel. I'm headed that way. Real Red tip-off show, our inaugural tip-off show here in the public market, as we're going to be doing this before every Nebraska basketball game, most Nebraska basketball games for sure in Big Ten play, Creighton. And it's a great sight to see Nebraska basketball fans bumping around, and they are fired up. We will take a quick timeout. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. Dr. Doug Davis with us. Dr. Doug, how are we?
I'm doing okay, Chris. How about yourself?
Doing all right. Trying to stay warm out there, man. It's a bit frigid. A lot going on in the NBA. And wanted to spend time tonight on Steph Curry. Guy's just so good from three-point land, good at finishing. They've won what they've won. It's all documented. But he's been a guy that's been banged up because of how physical the NBA is. He's played hurt. He's played and gutted through some tough playoff series with ankle and wrist issues. But he's been day-to-day with a groin injury. Dr. Doug, kind of take us through what Golden State did to examine him and where things stand right now.
Yeah, so, you know, in that, I think it was a game against the Bucks that he got hurt, and he kind of pushed off, it looked like, with his left side and started having pain in that left groin area. With a guy like that, you know, who's making as athletic a maneuvers as what he is, he pushes so hard, he can get those eccentric loading injuries that we've talked about before, where that's really the way muscles and tendons are generally injured. And what that means is that as he's, you know, moving his body one direction, his body or some of his muscles are contracting the other direction, and something's got to give, and in this case that muscle and tendon get strained. That tendon is what we call the horse rider's tendon. It's that hard tendon that's right in the groin. It's the one that gets real sore for a guy who's riding horseback too. Mm-hmm. The listeners can kind of figure out, you know, the location there. So what they did is they ended up getting an MRI examination on him, looking to see whether or not the thing was torn.
The good news is he's day to day. The bad news is you can't lose a guy like Steph Curry for the year. So moving forward, Dr. Doug, with Steph Curry and this injury, how big a roll of the dice is it for him to not go down long term? Is it something that they'll manage with minutes? Is there treatment available? How does Golden State and Steph Curry move forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's really a difficult one to give a prognosis on, because the reality of it is all of us that do sports medicine have seen situations where a guy has been bothered by a groin injury, he's been able to come back, play well, and then all of a sudden have a massive groin tear. It's one of those things that would really set him down. On the other hand, it had set him down, but he'll come back from it. Even with a massive groin tear of that adductor muscle, he can come back from it, but it'll just take him a lot longer. We know that this is a real common injury in soccer players. Over in Europe, it's not an unusual thing for soccer players to actually have that tendon cut surgically as a way of relieving that groin, chronic groin tenderness, and avoiding those tears that occur while they're playing the sport. So it's a little bit all over the map, and your point about, you know, how much of a gamble is it? There's a gamble component to this, no question about it, but it's really hard to come up with what that number is.
Dr. Doug Davis with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking Steph Curry and his injury situation. What elements of his game are affected most by this injury when it comes to discomfort? when it comes to his ability to just be what he's been.
Well, you know, you watch him play, and he's so good at that, you know, that step back three. He just will, you know, he'll push somebody a little bit and then just take a quick step back and put the three up. And that's going to be hard for him to do, especially if he's, you know, moving off to his left side and he's going to take a step back and push off that left leg. But, you know, virtually every part of that guy's game is potentially affected because he's, you know, he's using his legs so well. I think what you're probably going to see with this is a pretty slow return on the Warriors' part with this guy because he's just such a critical part of their team in the long run. And it's early in the season; they got time here. They'd like to get him back, but you know, it's a good time for them to use other players and see what they've got to, and how they can, you know, elevate the team.
Dr. Doug, when it comes to the style of offense that Golden State runs, the movement, and then they can get up and down. I mean, they can do it any way they want, half court or full court. Is this an injury that'll limit his short ability to burst? I mean, just that quick twitch, you sprint out around a pick and then you stop and catch. I mean, how catastrophic is this? And I don't mean to ask you the same question in a different way. I'm just wondering, just knowing how they use him, the step back, yes, that part of the three game is so good for Curry, but also how they get him open.
Yeah, it's really kind of interesting because when we were discussing that part of, okay, is he at risk for a bigger injury? Yeah, he's the quintessential guy who's at risk for a bigger injury because he does have that really sharp cutting, you know, quickness types of maneuvers. And, you know, I think, honestly, you're just not going to see him back until he really feels like he's, you know, 100% out there. I think he realizes that, you know, he really needs to be able to take those quick steps. It's that kind of emotion, though, you know, that kind of an activity that can produce that really catastrophic injury. And again, when I say catastrophic on this one, I mean, you know, it could end his season, but sure. he probably would be just fine, you know, coming back in the long run.
Dr. Doug Tavis with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking Steph Curry's injury, that groin area, and how Golden State and Steph will proceed. From a rust standpoint, and say they are very conservative with Steph, just kind of getting back into form, what's the timetable? Say they gave him 2 weeks off, right? Maybe that's a large estimate, maybe that's a conservative one, but say he gets 2 weeks off. When it comes back to timing and wind and all of that, that turnaround time, once the groin's healed, all right, talk to me about the rest of the effect with that off time it could have on his game.
Yeah, I honestly think you're probably going to see him, you know, in the 3 to 4 week time frame.
Okay.
And I think it's a situation where they'll use the first couple of weeks as just being completely laying off everything, and then they'll use the second 2 weeks to, you know, build back his aerobics. He can be doing straight ahead sprints. He can be doing all of the non-cutting activity, you know, aerobic activity that can really build, you know, him back from a perspective of being able to have the endurance to play that game. So I think that's probably the way this will play out, is they'll really completely rest him, get him to a point where he can do his heavy aerobics, and then build him back up, and then get him back on the court when he's had a good 3 or 4 weeks of rest. But, you know, the guy's an amazing athlete, and you know, trying to predict something like that, you know, trying to predict the success that this guy's had in the NBA would have been tough.
Absolutely. Dr. Doug, thanks for a few minutes today.
All right. Take care, Chris.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Thank you, Kramer. We're here in the public market, Hail Varsity Radio. Roadshow Wednesday in front of Nebraska and Seton Hall. I remember Terry DeHare. I remember PJ Carlissimo. Andrew Gaze, the Australian mad bomber from three-point land. The beer line is, well, I'm not going to lie to you, it's not super manageable right now. But if you get in and hang tight, it'll work out in the end. And we invite you down here as Real Red Tip-Off Show. We are a part of that now inside the public market here in the rail yard with Hale Varsity at ESPN Lincoln. The big games and the conference games, they're all big, says the coach. I get it, but we'll be down here for Creighton. We'll get here for all the Big Ten games. We're going to see you down here in the public market area. And don't forget, we'll give you a chance here shortly to qualify for Nebraska-Michigan State. And when we get to the Real Red Tip-Off portion of things, after 6, we're going till 6:15 tonight. We'll qualify some more folks for Nebraska in Sprint Center as they'll be in Kansas City for a couple of non-conference showdowns coming up. 466-3776-800-825-5865. Some lottery tickets, some koozies, some calendars still to be handed out. And we're going to have Papa Shot down here, which is just fantastic. That's a lot of fun. And we're going to have our own little booth here in the public market next to some taps. We will not partake, I promise. Danny, you feeling good about tonight? We'll get more into it here in about 5 minutes, but give us an update on the line for Nebraska Seton Hall.
Yeah, it still looks like it's at about 7.5 here. I'm feeling confident in Nebraska tonight, absolutely. I just don't know if I'm going to take them with that spread at this moment. Seems pretty high for the very beginning of the season, despite being at home.
See, you're a little bit nervous about the 7.5. You don't like the touchdown?
No, I really don't, just because this is going to be the first legit competition Nebraska faces this year, so I think they will for sure get the win. I'll put everything on that, but I just don't feel comfortable with the spread at this point in the season. Need to find out a little more about this team and how far they've come along.
I absolutely hear you on that. Danny, should we get some folks ready to get locked in on Kansas City? Let's do caller 8 for Nebraska. We'll get you a pair of tickets Monday and Tuesday down to Sprint Center for Nebraska's roadie, the 19th and 20th. Caller 8 right now.
Don't put that crap on me, and we don't carry any baggage. Everywhere we've been, I've been surrounded by great people, and we win, and we're going to keep doing it.
Here I come.
Caller 8, okay, the Real Red Tip-Off Show commences here in the public market with Hale Varsity and ESPN. And all the Nebraska basketball home games will be back for the Creighton ball game and all the Big Ten action. Illinois is going to be in town on December 2nd. We're not that far away. Don't forget, we're down at the Graduate Friday for another Roadshow Friday, home football Friday. Want to see you down there for that, myself and Jay Moore. So Danny's telling me to shut up and wrap it up. We'll be back with more Nebraska basketball preview against Seton Hall with the Real Red Tip-Off on ESPN.
Welcome to Hale Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hale Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Well, we are part of the Real Red Tip-Off here in the public market. It's an extended version of ESPN Radio. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, it's awesome. I have just ran into my 8th grade center, and we did a monster pick and roll. It was wonderful. We bring in Danny Burke. It's a big one, PBA. It is it's a good time tonight down here in the rail yard. We invite you down in front of Nebraska basketball games with ESPN Lincoln Real Red Tip-Off Show as Nebraska and Seton Hall are ready to get it on at 6:30. And temperatures aren't brutal, But I tell you what, the Breezy Island Ice stand to my right, they are serving frosty ones. They can get some popcorn, too, across the way, and get yourself full up before Nebraska gets things tipped off. Danny, we said goodbye a little bit ago. Back at it here. We are on till 6:15, and I want to get your take here, your confidence, your concerns. I'll go first, and I want your thoughts too, brother. But I think Nebraska, to me, the biggest thing here is this season, right? Is what's this team going to be able to do if they can't run, if they can't get a rebound outlet, get in transition? Because I think it's not that they can't score or do work with their talent in the half court, but they are so athletic, man. They are so good up and down the court. Health for Roby and that plantar fasciitis is a concern. Depth, yes, with guys getting into foul trouble. All those things are pretty common, but they're real. Just a half-court offense. I'm anxious to see if Seton Hall can control tempo tonight, how Nebraska deals with it offensively in the half court.
No, absolutely. That's been a looming problem from Nebraska as far as I could remember. If Nebraska's not going on the run, they've struggled with setting up an offense in that half-court offense like you mentioned. And it's just coming off ball screens if they're able to set them strong enough. And then when that happens, can they knock those shots down? And a lot of times they couldn't, like last year with Glenn Watson. He obviously wasn't hitting, but he's had a strong outing so far this year. So if he can keep that up, that'd be great. And they have the athleticism to just keep running and running and running. And almost, you know, if they could get those shots down, almost just like be a fast tempo team like the Warriors and just hope you can knock your shots down. And if it comes to that, then they can be unstoppable. And then like we mentioned earlier, Schmitty, too, Isaiah Roby, if we could get him, or if Nebraska can get him to do a pump fake at the top of the key, players fall for that. He's a double threat there. He can bring it into the hole anytime, draw the foul, hit your free throws, and then you're good to go if you're Nebraska. If you have threats everywhere and they do that consistently and they limit the turnovers and they knock their free throws down when they're supposed to, then they should have a successful night and rest of the season.
Well, and that's so key here with Roby at the top of the key. That's where he's very comfortable. From three-point land, for sure. He shot 40% when he took him. I was reading through Jacob Padilla's preview of Nebraska basketball, and here is a little bit of a motivational ploy Tim Miles gave Isaiah Roby, and it was on Grant Hill and some words of wisdom from Coach K. And you are being selfish by being unselfish. That was the message to Grant Hill, as it turned into his team after Hurley and after Leitner, the junior senior year. I know Arkansas and Corliss Williamson won the national championship in 94, but I mean Grant went to four Final Fours and they played in three out of four national championship games. But Grant needed to take over that senior year. I know Isaiah's a junior. Roby and Grant Hill don't blood test me here. I'm not trying to be that guy. I'm just saying that the example is there, right? Where he is so skilled and so talented that he needs to assert himself and not be passive. I like the message Miles sent, Danny.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. Roby's got to take control whenever he can, and he saw glimpses of that last year when we started seeing his stardom. Anytime Nebraska was struggling, he'd kind of take over, and that's what would build the Huskers' momentum into coming back in a lot of these games. And, you know, unfortunately, the games one of they lost that proved to be crucial was that Illinois game, and Roby was really the only one getting it going, and nobody else did, and that was the big problem, not everyone clicking at the same time. So hopefully they don't have to rely on Roby to get it going. Hopefully players like Glenn Watson and James Palmer can get it going, because that should be their job. And then Roby just opens up and expands that offense and opportunities more so on the court. So it's all about getting these guys to click, and we'll see tonight if they're able to do so.
Well, and that's a difficult dynamic. If you're the junior and you have guys who came back and eschewed pro money, in Palmer's case, in Copeland's case, and then there's Glenn, who wants a redemption season after a tough junior year, after the building that went from freshman to sophomore season, as good as they were. It's going to be difficult for that's something to watch this year, man, is what type of role does Roby have? Is he complimentary or is he the main course? And it doesn't have to be every game. Roles can change per game. I believe that 1,000%. Mm-hmm. But if this is a matchup that's favorable with Roby, with his athleticism and his talent, let him be the guy. Let the offense go through him. Let Glenn get him the ball. Here's the other thing to watch, too, and Jacob Padilla touched on this so well. How's a guy like James Palmer, who's an all-Big Ten selection a year ago, a guy that got you 18.5 a contest, a guy that found ways to score, that hit every big shot, took every big shot. If he's off, there are other options. How does he deal with teams now having a year of film on him? Can he be more of a facilitator versus just that guy that is the bucket getter?
No, absolutely. That is going to be a big question. Everyone's aware of what James Palmer is and can be. So if he can just be way more dynamic offensively, like he said, maybe draw some defenders away, allow other players to shine like Isaac Copeland, that's how they do really well if they play off each other. And I think it would be big if James Palmer just really develops his inside game a lot more. A lot of the times you saw him driving as if, obviously, you know, he shook the defender and got to the lane or would be on a fast break. I'd like to see him draw a lot more fouls, going to the rack more so. And his mid-range needs to be more consistent. When he's on with that, there's just about no stopping him. So if he can create any separation mid-range-wise, knock that down, or even just try to get to the rack and draw fouls, that is going to be huge for the team this year. If you want to make any late run in any tournament, it's all about drawing fouls and hitting your free throw. So if James Palmer can be a threat that way and not just off the dribble with the mid-range shot and off the screens with the three-point ball, then he will be a big factor. And also, like you said, if he's dishing it around even more, so that would be great.
We have a beer line update here in the public market. We're in the rail yard. It's Real Red Tip-Off going on. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke on ESPN Lincoln. We invite you down for Nebraska home basketball games, for the Creighton game we'll be down here, and for all the Big Ten conference contests. So it is a warm, cozy spot in the public market. The ice rink will be going in. Bring the kids by, throw them on the skates, and come on in and, well, get warmed up before Nebraska basketball. The beer line count now is back to the TV, and I think we got iRobot on here on AMC. Yes, so that's where we're at right now. Danny Burke, Chris Schmidt, it's Hail Varsity Radio, and we've morphed into the Real Red Tip-Off Show. Some scores to pass along. Michigan is dismantling Villanova as part of the Gavitt Tip-Off. Nebraska Seton Hall, the matchup you're heading to here in a little bit. But Michigan 37-13. And I know Nova lost four starters. Michigan lost a lot as well. My Lord, Beeline and the comb over are doing work on Nova 37-13. Michigan State's up 7-2 on University of Louisiana Monroe. Clemson, a future opponent, 14-7. Duke is up 8-2. And you've got Indiana and Marquette rocking and rolling. Indiana's going to be a hell of a club. Kentucky will try and take out some anger on North Dakota. Andy Markowski joined us on Hail Varsity. Andy Markowski had a breakdown tonight of Seton Hall and Nebraska. Danny, do we have that queued up here? A little bit of a preview from a Husker standout as he gets you ready for Nebraska and Seton Hall. What's going to be key for this group, this squad, and Coach Miles kind of navigating a season like this with really, really high expectations?
Yeah, certainly. I don't know if a Nebraska basketball team has had this much anticipation since, you know, probably the early 90s when we had a roster with three or four NBA, you know, caliber guys on it. So, you know, I know it's new, but you certainly had a lot of expectations. Had a great season last year with winning, you know, 23 games. So, you know, it's a long season, and you hope that the agendas of the touted four all line up. You know, you don't want it to get splintered where you know, NBA or individual accolades or any of those things, you know, start to creep in. You know, if they're in it for the right reasons, you know, in it to compete for a Big Ten championship, get into the NCAA tournament and be the first team in Nebraska history to win a game. I think the talent is there. You know, my concern is the season is long, is depth. You know, you have to avoid injuries. You have to get a little lucky if you're not deep. And then they have to develop, you know, that seventh, eighth, ninth guy, because there's going to be games where you're going to depend on them to play well, you know, to have a chance to win. So, you know, you certainly they have the talent. The four that they're building around are as talented as you know, any Nebraska team in the history of the program. And it's going to be fun to see how Coach Miles and the staff, you know, navigate them through, you know, a pretty challenging non-conference, and then what I think will be a much tougher conference schedule than what they played a year ago.
That is Andy Markowski with us earlier on Hail Varsity at ESPN. We're here, Real Red Tip-Off Show. Reminder, we're going to be down here in the public market set up, man, for Nebraska basketball all season long. We'll be back down here for Creighton, and we'll be here for all the Big Ten games. Danny, we are the shot clock is winding down. It is time to do some predictions. I still have a couple of koozies and a couple of calendars left. The beer line is manageable if you want to pop in the public market and have a frosty one. Danny, we are not betting a steak and a beer on this because I am still reigning champion. I will go first, however.
All right, all right.
And you've got Palmer and you got Glenn each averaging 17.5. The difference so far through a couple of games, Glenn getting near 20, or for sure the double-figure number, but Glenn getting that without taking 10 shots. Glenn got 17 without taking 10 shots. That's huge for him. If he's 5-for-9 every night and going for 18, Nebraska's going to be a 6 seed. Bottom line, period. End of discussion. Seton Hall right now is going to bang around. Seton Hall lost a lot of talent. I think Powell's going to get neutralized. It'll be interesting to see how Nebraska manages potential foul trouble. But I think this place will be rocking. The energy will be great. I think Nebraska wins and covers. Give me the Big Red, 81-72, a 9-point win. 81-72, Nebraska over Seton Hall tonight.
All right, I'm going to take Nebraska 73-67. I think the line moved up to 8, so I think Seton Hall is going to cover, but Nebraska will win.
There we go for the Real Red Tip-Off Show, the inaugural here from the public market in the rail yard. Back with you tomorrow on Hail Varsity. Thanks for listening.